apologize to both of you concept lovers. There we go. We ready?
Yeah.
So Jim B. Sexlove, well, I started off poorly, didn't I? Jim B. Sexlovetic and Orange County. And yes, I am a concept lover, as I think many of us are to some degree. And I do want to do a quick plug for some of the literature out there. Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about the framework for living, which is great. And I hope at the very least, even though it wasn't approved, that people will have a little extra passion to open it up for themselves or take it to the meeting or provide feedback to the writing committee on that document, because it is, I think, much needed. And then because I do go to outside literature, there's these. Some of you have probably seen this before. This is AACE 12 Concepts for World Service. Illustrated, mind you. Cartoons can go with Serenity and Recovery. See, he is a nerd. He is a concept nerd.
You're holding it.
So I also have the 12 Traditions illustrated. I know people don't like cartoons. I do. I think they're very helpful. And if you ever really want to nerd out, there are the 12 Traditions long form from AA that really go into a more detailed version of what the 12 Traditions actually are. So there's more than what you see just in what we read in a meeting. And I find them helpful as resources. So more on the general, I look at we don't use the term three legacies, but other programs do. And the three legacies are the steps, traditions, and concepts. And to me, they are 36, I should say, equal spiritual principles that are tools in my toolbox. So obviously, I, like most people, did the steps first, but I've also worked the traditions and worked the concepts. And my experience is that they help me as much in my daily living at this point in my life, maybe not in the beginning, but at this point in my life, as the steps do. And so I have a deep passion for both the traditions and the concepts. So having said that, the concepts are the ones that seem the most businessy, if you will. And I think I heard one person, when we were talking on the framework, even make a mention of they use the term more esoteric or something like that. And yes, on the surface, the 12 concepts are very businessy. There's very clear language about the board, the trustees, the conference, and things like that. But there's a spiritual principle underneath that I can apply in every area of my life if I'm willing, if I choose. So Jake asked me to choose one, so I chose the right of appeal. And I chose it because of where we are and what we just did. So I thought, hey, I knew when I chose it there'd be a minority report at some point. Well, there's been a lot. So, you know, everybody's had a chance to see what it looks like from a business side of what the minority is able to do. And I watched, as a record keeper, it flip. And I've seen this before where it flips from pro to con to pro. And that to me is fascinating, that when the minority speaks and truly has a voice, people listen. They're heard and things change. Minds are changed. And that to me is part of the magic of the process and part of the magic of the right of appeal, which says I should read it because most people probably don't have it memorized, except for Rick, but most of us don't. The right of appeal prevails so that minority opinion is heard and personal grievances receive careful consideration. So, or as oftentimes you'll see it in the notes, it's called the Minority Report, and that's not just a movie with Tom Cruise. It actually is a thing. And I didn't think it was a thing. I thought it was a movie with Tom Cruise. I was like, well, that's pretty cool. So that's neat the way it works here. And I saw this today and yesterday as we were sitting in the General Assembly, is that, you know, the spiritual aspect of the 12 traditions was alive in that room. I get a little worried about this stuff sometimes, so ignore me. But there's times when I'm overwhelmed. Like the first day, I was just like, oh my God, I missed part of the recording. I was overwhelmed. I was like, oh, I screwed this up. And then there's times when I can feel the spirit of service. So it's not visceral, but I can feel it. And I could feel the spirit of service today and yesterday. And that is powerful. And the right of appeal is key to that. To where we are all important. In the minority, we're just as important as in the majority. So, anyways, I think we all have been through this for 2 days. We probably all have felt it to a degree. Most of you probably spoke either in the majority or in the minority or both. And that is absolutely amazing to me. So in my daily life, what does this look like? So I think most addicts don't occur in a vacuum. And I will say I definitely did not. My addiction did not grow in a vacuum. It grew in a petri dish of chaos, alcoholism, and violence. So I came out of that having learned certain things and having not learned certain things. One of the things that I learned was that the minority did not have a voice and a vote. The minority absolutely was not going to get heard. And that the best way to get up on top was just the way we worked as a family was to crush people who didn't agree with me. Because I was crushed by people who didn't agree with me. And that's how I went into life, not understanding that people whose opinions are different than mine are just as important, that I need to listen to those. And how can I listen to those? So the right of appeal tells me that, hey man, you need to listen. You need to listen to people who say things differently. You need to listen to people who disagree with you. And you might be surprised that you change your mind. Well, I saw that today. People flopped. Not in a bad thing, I'm not calling it flip-flop, and I'm just saying people changed their mind as they heard different voices. That's recovery. I gotta watch recovery work. Recovery in action, for anyone's time, I'm getting all emotional about it. But anyways, it's powerful for me. So in my personal life, what does that look like? So I don't, you know, I came from a large family, but I have a very small family now. It's me, a wife, a dog, and two cats. We're a small family. And and the cat and the dogs don't tend to appeal stuff too much, but occasionally. but even in my little family, you know, I need to learn how to listen. I have learned how to listen and change my mind. And I used to use when I was working with, I work by myself now, but when I was working in a larger organization, I use this on a daily basis. How can I hear somebody who, either who reports to me or who I don't need to listen to, but how can I listen to them? And then take that in and go, okay, and hear it, and then go, got it, and then change my mind as a result of it. How can I not be rigid and stuck to my way of thinking? Which, by the way, if my way of thinking was so goddamn good, I wouldn't be sitting at this table. I mean, my way of thinking got me deep into an addiction that was incredibly chaotic and destructive. So clearly my way of thinking is not that great, but I can still be very attached to my way of thinking. So this really helps me to say, you know what, man, I don't need to be attached to that. I need to be open. So I think the last thing I'm gonna kind of talk about is with my family, and it's interesting, I was talking to somebody at lunch about this. I had an experience here a couple years ago where my mother got dementia, and then she passed from it a little bit after that. And so I had an opportunity to, to connect with my siblings. There's a lot of us. And listen to each of them. You know, what did they want? And my mother got to a place where she really wasn't part of the decision-making team anymore. Her dementia was too progressed. But they were. And how could I be of service to them? And one of the big ways was listening to them. And then, okay, this is what the group wants. You know, use the traditions, go with the group. And that's what I did. I applied the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts to that entire situation. And it came out the way God meant it to, and my relationship with all my siblings improved as a result. And as I was telling the person at lunch, I was not seeking that spiritual experience. Nobody seeks to have their parent pass, of course, but I also wasn't seeking a radically improved relationship with my siblings. I was seeking an improved relationship, and I've been working on it, but I hadn't been seeking a radically improved relationship. But in times like that, there are options. My old option was, hey man, it should be my way, because I know best, because the way I roll, I always think I know best. But the traditions and the concepts gave me the opportunity to approach it in an entirely different fashion and have an entirely different outcome than would have happened left to my own devices. How do I know this? because I've been me a long time, my siblings have been them for a long time, and in the past when I was me and they were them, things didn't end well. This time I was me, a different me, they were still them, and things ended very well. So I know that this works. I know from personal experience. So anyways, that's all I got. Thanks. I'll turn this off. I'll let you turn it off.
Thanks, Jim. Mm. So we're going to go around and do 60 seconds each on the concept or how we relate to that or what we heard.
If anybody wants to reference the 12 concepts, I do have a paper copy.
Yeah. You know what? I'll put them up on this computer, too, since I'm going to be moving it around to listen to you all. I really want to roll a d20 to decide who speaks first, but I didn't bring it down with me.
So. For people who know the reference, it's a Dungeons & Dragons nerd thing.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know.
20-sided dice.
You know, Jim used to play something.
I did. Yeah. He was a D&D nerd.
The session of this committee is a D&D game.
That would be really fun. Well, I just...
Oh, my God. Don't give me that again.
I used Dragon. Google to roll a d20, and we ended on number 4, which is Rachel. So Rachel, you're actually going to be the first talker
oh, okay,
on The Price is Right.